just want to direct your attention to what the Lord placed on my heart for you today. And it has to do with the exalted Christ. The theme of this general council was believe. Believe. And the idea was, you know, if we would just simply believe what we've believed in the past, our tenets of faith, and let God prove himself, we would see great things. We need to get back to a strong belief. You need to know. And I've touched on that over the last few weeks. You know, the importance of belief and what you believe. What you believe will determine your destiny, where you're going to spend eternity. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere because you're an eternal being. You say, how do you know that? Well, I know that because God created us higher than the lower animal forms of life. In fact, we're created in the image of God, and God is eternal. So that means that even when you die, you say, what difference does it make? We're all going to die. Well, it makes a big difference because your flesh may cease to exist. It may decay away, but your spirit, that part of you that is godlike, your spirit is going to exist somewhere. You're going to exist. You're an eternal being right now. You may not realize it, but you are. You are. And when death comes knocking on your door, that's not it. We used to use the phrase, you know, when death comes, it's curtains. Curtains, like you draw the curtains, that's it. Nothing left. Oh, there's something behind the curtain, folks. It's eternity. And that's where we're all headed. That's where we're all headed. So what you believe is so important. It's not enough to say I have a list of beliefs. You've got to live it. You've got to believe it so much that it makes a change in your life. Now hear me this morning. I want to direct your attention to a passage found in Hebrews. And I'm just going to read a few verses there. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. It's Hebrews chapter 1. I mentioned the theme of the council was believe. The work of Christ is at the center of what we believe. He is, in essence, our all in all, and without him, there is no hope. You say, well, that sounds very exclusive. Yeah, that does. But, you know, that's what the Word of God says. I'm not just saying that. I'm letting you know what God's Word says. You don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. That's the way it works. You can gain all life has to offer, and if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. But you can have nothing life has to offer, and if you have Jesus, you have everything. And in the first chapter of Hebrews, I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to make some comments on it. God, who at various times and in various ways, notice, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. You say, why do we read the Old Testament? That's why. God revealed himself to the Old Testament prophets, and they spoke as the Spirit of God moved on them. And these words were written down, and they were really pointing towards the time when Jesus, the Messiah, would come. And it goes on to say in verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament? The difference is that now we look not just to the Old Testament. We look to the Old Testament for spiritual guidance and help, but we look to the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus now, these are New Testament times. This is a New Testament walk we have with God. And so God in Christ, he explains really what the Old Testament was all about and helps shows us the way. Who being in the brightness of his glory and in the express image of his person and upholding all things but a worthy of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus sat down when his work was finished. And that lets us know that, listen, some people think that there's something else they got to do to be saved. There's nothing more that you have to do to be saved. All you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior. Why? Because Jesus sat down. What do you mean? Well, it was done. He accomplished what he came to do on earth. He ascended in heaven to the right hand of the Father. And what did he do? He sat down. It was as if he came back and said, well, Father, I've done what you asked me to do. It is finished. It is complete. The work is done. Some people are always trying to add to salvation. How am I going to get into heaven? You just need Jesus, my friend. You need the Lord. And it goes on to say, and then notice this, the exaltation of Christ. We see it here. having become so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? That's taken from Psalms 2, verse 7, by the way. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The Father is saying that of Jesus. So if anyone wonders, where does it say that he's God? Well, it's right here in Scripture, calling Jesus God. And then in verse 6, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, notice this, verse 8, to the Son, he, God says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. How did we get the earth? God laid the foundation of the earth. Well, I thought it just happened. It's not what the Scripture says. It says that in the beginning, God was the first cause. He brought it all together. He crafted it. It was in the heart and mind of God. And you, O Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And they will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. What? Well, these earthly things. It says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word won't pass away. And we know there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. Why is that? Because God's going to renovate this earth. Do you know, I just was watching something recently, and there's a lot of people who are fearful of what's going to happen. They have these people called preppers. You know what a prepper is? Huh? Yeah? Some of you are smiling out there. You know what they are. They're people who sense that things are going to become very chaotic, that there's a general breakdown of society, not just locally, but worldwide, and that it's going to get worse and worse with this increase in communication. You know, now something is said in 1 second, and then it's traveled halfway around the world. People can become incensed in just a brief moment. It used to take months or even years, but now, in just a brief moment, something can be said, and it can change things halfway around the world. And they sense that we're on a path that's going to lead eventually to worldwide chaos. When things start breaking down, people are going to take to the streets, and all these things are going to happen. And a lot of people say, oh, that's a bunch of malarkey. That's not going to happen. Well, I don't know. You know, all I know is this, is that the Bible does tell us that things are going to become more difficult for Christians, and that's happening, isn't it? There are burning churches right now, halfway across the world now, halfway away around the world from us today, in a land that at one time tolerated Christians, and they're going in, and they're burning down churches. I got a communication just the other day. It says, pray for the Christians in Egypt. He says, our Christians are being tortured, they're being martyred, they're being persecuted for their faith. For years, we had kind of an agreement there between Christians and Muslims and others that they just kind of respected each other. But now it's fallen into chaos. And they said our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering right now. And it said it's urgent. Pray for the church in Egypt. Pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ there, that God will uphold them in this very difficult and trying hour. You see, it's not just happening there. It's happening all around the world. All around the world. And so people have this feeling that things are going to go sour, so to speak, and things are going to break down. And so what they're doing is, these preppers that I mentioned, they're building fortifications, and they're building, you know, to try to prepare for this Armageddon that's coming. Well, Armageddon's coming. The biblical Armageddon's coming. I don't know about the other, but I do know that things are going to get worse before they get better. And that's not just doomsday talk. That's just being factual. Read God's book. It'll tell you that. Things are going to get worse before they get better. And the ultimate solution will be the second coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory. He's going to come. He's going to set things straight. And he's going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. Won't that be glorious? When all of a sudden, there's not going to be any war. No, all of a sudden, people are going to be able to get along with each other. There's not going to be any hate. People are going to be focused on doing what is right and good and just. That world is coming, but it'll only come under the leadership of Christ. And so it goes through this passage here in Hebrews. This is a great passage because it exalts Jesus. It lets you know why he's the focus of our faith. You know, this is what we call being Christocentric. He's the center of our belief system, Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian not believe in the deity of Jesus. You can call yourself that, but it's certainly not the biblical definition of it. And then it says, but you, O Lord, in the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of your hands, they will perish, but you remain, they will all grow old like a garment, and like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? He never said that. And it goes on to say, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's you, that's me. We inherit salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul identified the source of his success in ministry in spreading the gospel message, and I direct your attention to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and this is what he said. He said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul, a very learned man, he was well-schooled in theology, the theology of his day, and in religion. And he said, listen, when I came to you, I set all that aside. I didn't try to impress you with lofty words of speech, with difficult abstract concepts. I didn't try to do that. All I did was I came to you, and I preached Christ and him crucified. I let you know about Jesus and the fact that there's a Savior. And he died on a cross. And he died on a cross because of our sins. And if you will turn to him and if you will ask him to come into your life, he will do that. His Spirit is alive today and he will come into your life and he will guide you and he will direct you. And he'll all of a sudden put all the pieces of the puzzle together for you and for the life that you're facing, the life that you're living. Paul said that. I didn't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message, my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. How about it? Is your faith based on the wisdom of men? Or is your faith based upon what someone thinks or what someone has told you? Or is it based on the power of God? Which is it? Is your faith based on some class you took on religion? Is your faith based on some guru that you went to hear? Or is your faith based upon what the Word of God says? Which is it? There are a lot of people who pride themselves because they know all these religions and all these religious practices, and yet their faith is not based on Christ. It's all for naught unless it's based upon the Word of God. That's what he's saying here. He said, I could have come that way, but I didn't do all that. He said, I just came to you. I came to you with the message of Jesus. God has already given us power based upon what we believe. Do you know that? You say, oh, I want to see the power of God. Do you know that if you and I will just begin to live our lives based upon what we already know, we'll see the power of God happen? Do you know that? Do you know that God, some people are waiting for God to do something great. And God perhaps, I think, is waiting for us to believe for him to do something great. You see, he's waiting on us. We're waiting on him, and he's just looking down and said, I've already given you everything you need. All you got to do is begin to live and believe and to work according to what I've given you. And that's the way it is. There's power in belief. There's power. God has already given us everything we need for the job before us. I want to see revival. I want to see changed lives. The only way a life can be changed is through the power of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God hasn't given us the spirit of timidity, but then it says power, love, and discipline, and I want to focus on that, but he gave us a spirit of power. Do you know you have that already? He said he's already given us. God didn't give us a spirit so that we'll be fearful and timid. He gave you a spirit of power. Do you have a spirit of power? When you share your faith, are you sharing your faith in the power that Christ has given you? Are you letting your light shine? Is it being powered? You know, light has to have a power source somewhere. You flip on the switches, there's a source of power that makes that light. In the Christian, it's Jesus. The light of your life is powered by the presence of Jesus in your life. Are you letting that power shine through? Are you using the power that God has already given you? God has given you that power. Now I ask you, are you using it? There are so many Christians that don't even realize. We talk about the power of God, and we're not even using that power that he's already given us. We're looking for some kind of divine act of God that's going to do something electric in our lives, and then all of a sudden we'll move from that point and we'll move on in power. Listen, the scripture tells us we've already been given the power. We have a spirit of power already because Jesus resides within. Our ability to do great things for God begins with what we truly believe. Notice these events in scripture and the emphasis on belief. Two blind men came to Jesus. They heard he was going around. He was healing people, and they heard about it. And it says this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. It says, when Jesus, when he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, notice this discussion that goes on here between Jesus and the blind men. He says, do you believe that I am able to do this? Now, do you think Jesus knew whether or not they believed? Jesus is God. Why in the world is Jesus asking a question that he already knows the answer to? He didn't do it for his benefit. He did it for their benefit. And that's what happens. God, you say, well, God already knows. Some people are, they're like Christian fatalists. Well, God knows. God knows. Of course he knows. But there are a lot of things that God requires us to do, not because we're going to impress God or let God know something that he doesn't already know. It's because faith requires action. And so Jesus says to these blind men that are following around, he says this, do you believe that I am able to do this? And then the response comes back. They said, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. I want to ask you this morning, what would happen in your lives right now if God did to you according to what your faith is right now? Some of you aren't smiling. That's what Jesus said. He said, it'll be done according to your faith. What if God all of a sudden just said, okay, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give a special dispensation of miracles now. Right now, in this moment of time, I'm going to look upon those who have that kind of faith, and they're going to receive something great. Those who don't, well, you know, it's not that they couldn't, but the faith just isn't there. According to your faith. I would ask you that question today. We face an uncertain future. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Nobody knows. We have elections that are going to take place, you know, next year, and then a couple years following. We have elections that many people think are important. They think that's going to shape the destiny of our country. It may or may not. Who knows? We don't know. We don't know. Faith carries you through those places that are unknown. When you just don't know, how am I going to get by? How am I going to get through this? What lies ahead? Well, faith is the vehicle that takes you through. You need to catch a ride on faith. Faith will get you where you need to be. Faith will get you to that place where God wants you to be. Don't be looking for some other source, some other source of power or some other way. Look to God. The two blind men said, well, yeah, we believe it's going to be done according to your faith. Jesus said this in John 11:26, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? I ask you the question today, everybody here this morning, Jesus said this, and he says it to you today. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. It's as if he's saying to you, if you believe in me, you will never die. He says that to every person. But then he follows it up with this question, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because you see, the power is not just in the fact that he has already provided this for everybody, but there's power in the fact of whether or not people believe it. You wonder what lies ahead for you. You wonder ultimately what's going to happen to you. What's going to happen to your soul? What's going to happen to your spirit? Do you believe Jesus? Jesus said if you believe in him, you're never going to die. There'll never be a point in time where you will not exist. We know because we're eternal beings, we're going to exist beyond the grave. It's just a matter of where you're going to exist, because there is a spiritual death. And what that means is it doesn't mean that your spirit is extinguished. It means that your spirit experiences the judgment and the punishment for wickedness and sinfulness. And we call it spiritual death, but it doesn't mean you cease to exist. You'll still be existing in a place of judgment. The scripture tells us that. So whether or not you live beyond the grave in the presence of God, it depends upon what you've done with that statement. Everyone who lives and believes in me, Jesus said, will never die. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I just leave you with this thought. Can you believe God for great things? Can you? Maybe let me phrase it another way. Will you believe God for great things? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Somebody here today would say, Pastor, I haven't had the faith that I know God wants me to have. And I need faith because I might have made some plans concerning my life right now and what's happening today and tomorrow, and perhaps over the next year or few years of my life, but I haven't really thought about the long term. As I get older, what's going to happen? Have I really ordered my life in a way that's going to ensure that I'm blessed and everything's going to be okay between me and God? Hear me today, my friend. If you've neglected, this is the most important part of your life, is your relationship with God. Everything else pales in significance. You can plan for everything this life has to offer, but if you have not taken care of your relationship with God, then you, of all people, are most impoverished. What is that relationship with God? And today, you have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You have an opportunity to say yes to God. Right where you are, you can say, Lord, come into my life. I need you. I need your presence. I want to have peace in my heart. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything's okay. Everything's really okay between me and you. God, give me peace in my life. If you're here today and you sense a need for making that decision to serve the Lord, you can just raise your hand. I'll know what you mean. We're going to pray in just a second, especially for those who sense a need in their life today. If you have a spiritual need, you're uncertain about your relationship with God, and you want to take care of that right now, you want God to help you, just slip your hand up. I'll know what you mean, and we'll take care of that in a second. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, you've touched our hearts and our lives today, and we sense your presence here, and you know those that you're speaking to right now. Those that have raised their hands. Perhaps there are some that didn't, but they sense their need. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to deal with that person that you love and you care about. Let them know of their need to make that decision to serve you. There are so many uncertainties in life, but of this we can be certain. There is a day that is coming for this world and for us individually. It will be a day of judgment. And only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be saved. And I pray, Lord, that everyone here will have that assurance. They'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to know that Jesus Christ is God, the only begotten of the Father, and He is the only way. I pray, Lord, that You'll challenge us to walk in His footsteps, be more like Him, and Lord, that we will just put into practice what we already say we believe, to realize the power of God is already there. In Jesus' name I pray. We launch out onto another week. Summer is quickly kind of coming to an end here. A lot of busyness, people getting ready for, you know, school's going to be opening up, public schools and all of that. People coming back from vacations. But this might be a time when you're going to come in contact with some folks maybe you haven't seen in a while. They're kind of out shopping or whatever. Maybe people in your neighborhood, they're getting the last few days in outdoors in their yards or whatever. You know, take advantage of the opportunities you have right now. Somebody you're going to come across this week doesn't know Jesus and needs to know Him. Somebody you're going to come across this week knows you, and they have confidence in you. In other words, they trust you that, you know, you're someone that they can look to that cares about them. And they need Jesus. Why not step out in faith and ask the Lord, say, Lord, would You let the light of Your presence in me shine out towards this person and help this person? Why not get involved in what Jesus did? You know, Jesus, it says He went about doing good. And doing good, that can be a powerful attraction. You know, to be a good person, to have other people say, well, you're a good person. Now, we know what they mean. Sometimes they think just good deeds. Good deeds alone don't get you into heaven, but I would much rather have them think of me as being a good person than one who's not. It can open doors. It can open doors. Just be a good person. Look for ways in which you can minister to someone else. Find a need and then fill it. Do what you can. We can't do everything, but you know there are some things you can do that would bless somebody else. Let's look for those opportunities, and then when they arise, let's ask the Lord to help us. We do it because we love Jesus. Let's show people that Jesus loves them through our love and our concern and our care. All right? Let's live out our faith. Let's believe and let's act on it, and let's believe that there's power in what we're doing. And it's not so much us, it's God working through us to build His kingdom. Amen. Father, we love You today. We love Your people. They are precious in Your sight. And as they prepare to leave this place, I send them forth, Lord, with Your divine blessing. May it be upon them, O God. May this be a fruitful week of service for You. May many souls be touched for the cause of Christ, that Your kingdom would grow in this area, oh God, I pray. Amen. God bless you.